This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair, and thank you for joining us on Denim Day. I put on a pair of old Levi's today, as many are doing around the country and around the world. You see, wearing denim today is aimed at increasing awareness about sexual assault in our communities. April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and as the month winds down, we want to take occasion to make sure you know just how prevalent sexual assault is right here in our community and what's being done to better address the issue. Barbara Neesmay has dedicated her professional life to working in service of victims of domestic violence and sexual assault and serves as Executive Director of Safe House Center in Washtenaw County. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you for having me today.
Well, the reason for the denim today speaks to the kind of antiquated, repugnant, and downright dangerous attitudes that still exist about sexual assault.
You're absolutely right. I often marvel at how far we've come on issues related to sexual assault, but then I pause and I think, is this seriously still happening? And do we still have this level of victim blaming and lack of awareness?
People will say, why on earth does denim make a difference in, when it comes to the issue of sexual assault? But it dates back to a case 18 years ago in the country of Italy, wherein a woman who was sexually assaulted basically was told, because you wore jeans that were tight and may have had to help remove those jeans in the course of the assault, that's consent.
Yes, and I think what people don't understand about this is they said, well, why did you take off your pants? Or why did you take off your jeans? Well, the bottom line was is that she was being threatened with her life. And it was she was choosing between sexual assault and dying. And here is this young girl who is in what she thought was the hands of a trusted driving instructor. And then she is fighting for her life.
It is. I'm at a loss for words because it is incomprehensible to me that anybody could interpret that as consent. As you try and educate the public, as you go into schools and talk with young people, as you talk with the community at large and people come into the Safe House Center, how do you define consent for them?
Consent is the enthusiastic yes, that's verbal, basically. And different institutions, different places put a different spin on it. And what I find is, you know, the other piece of this is that people ask me all the time how people react to the issue of sexual assault. And I could be talking to anybody and they would say sexual assault is wrong. It's when you start defining the different situations. For example, if a young person went to a college party and was drunk, and they said, "Well, what else did you expect?" Or she dressed like that, or you know, these kinds of situations. And the reality is that is still sexual assault. Just because you go to a party and have fun and get drunk doesn't mean you deserve to be sexually assaulted.
And that comes down to what kind of messages are we passing along to our children as they grow up, and what kind of attitudes are they carrying forward as they move into those years of freedom and kind of reckless abandon as they get into college and the early 20s. I've certainly heard where women and young girls are being told, don't put yourself in a position where you're alone. Don't wear certain clothing. Don't provoke these kinds of things. It makes it seem as though an assault is almost inevitable, and you have to do what you can to mitigate the circumstances of what and when that might happen, and that if it happens, we're going to hold you accountable.
And we're also putting men in the most precarious situation of believing you can't control your urges or you can't control what you're feeling and thinking. I mean, it's this idea that, oh, well, because men can't control themselves, women need to, you know, take themselves out of situations that any normal free person should be able to do. And I think we underestimate men, and I think we put men at a disadvantage when we think about it in that way.
You are listening to Morning Edition on 89.1 WEMU. I'm David Fair, and we're talking with the Executive Director of Safe House Center in Washtenaw County. Barbara Neesmay is here. Statistically speaking, the Centers for Disease Control says nearly 1 in 5, or 20% of all women, will at some point in their life be sexually assaulted. The rates for the transgender community may be even higher. And given the suspected number of unreported cases, those figures are likely on the low end of reality. Why would somebody tell them, given the torturous nature of having to go through the judicial process to make someone accountable for their actions? Women are being, and transgender people, anybody who has suffered a sexual assault is basically being emotionally assaulted again in just trying to get justice.
That's true. The cases take a very long time to adjudicate, and we have found that if a survivor does not attend maybe a key court hearing or participate in the case can get dismissed fairly easily. 1 in 15 assaults are reported. And then you think about how many actually make it to the courtroom. And then going beyond that, how many where the assailant is actually held accountable. I heard Kim Worthy talking about Wayne County, and she said 0.5% of the rapists in Detroit are convicted.
That means they're still walking around.
Yeah, I mean, this is so many that are still out there. So this is definitely an issue that needs more attention in our society. And survivors need support to be able to continue with the cases. They need someone who's going to be with them, help them figure out how they're going to manage this part-time job of going to court, basically.
Right. And I'm glad you brought that up. We continue to discuss sexual assault throughout our communities as a societal issue. It's a public health issue. Mm-hmm. It is an economic issue. It's a conversation we obviously have to have, but it's probably of little or no comfort to someone who has experienced sexual assault. There is emotional trauma that can create PTSD, trust issues, self-medication, esteem issues, even self-loathing. It often results in suicide when the people feel they have nowhere else to go. There's a substantive list of potentially lifelong ramifications. For those living post-assault and living in silence, what can you offer to help them bring them back to the light and begin addressing the issue so it doesn't have to be a life sentence?
No matter when you were sexually assaulted as a child, as a teenager, as an adult, Safe House Center is there for you. You can call our helpline at 995-5444. We have support groups. We have individual counseling. Some people think it happened to me 10 years ago. I never told anybody. I never reported it. That's okay. We're not there to say you need to report it. You need to do this. We do want assailants to be held accountable. But first and foremost, we want survivors to be able to feel as though they move on in their lives. There are many people who wake up and say, I can't continue with this secret, with this burden. And why did it happen to me? And it's affecting my everyday life. And we want people to have the help and support that they need to get past it in some way.
How long into the process can you help somebody before it becomes an economic issue for them? Because there's a lot of folks that can't afford the services privately.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Safe House Center services are totally free. And if you need to go beyond the amount of time that we can, we work with other providers in the community. So don't feel as though because you can't afford counseling or support that it should be a barrier to come to Safe House.
And again, as you mentioned, it doesn't matter if it happened 10 years ago. If you need the help today, it is available. Full disclosure, my eldest daughter was assaulted when she was 12 years old. Mm-hmm. She didn't tell us until she was 14. We had started to see some signs, but didn't have confirmation for a couple of years. She lived in silence, fear, shame for all those years. She's now 23, almost 24 years old, and still dealing with those issues. Mm-hmm. And it is going to be a process for her to come to terms with all of it, to fully let go of the baggage. That is true with anybody who suffers this experience, and it has been my experience. You can't do it alone.
Absolutely, and we encourage people who have experienced sexual assault, like I said, male, female. We serve men. We serve women across the LGBTIQ spectrum. Call us. We're there to help.
And let's talk about that family issue, because it doesn't just affect that person. All of a sudden, it affects the small family life. It extrapolates out into the educational community, into work. It becomes a huge issue, like a ripple effect throughout the community. When I found out, as a father, I had profound sadness, of course, but I also had a sense of rage, and I wanted to do something about it. I came to the conclusion that if I really wanted to help my daughter, I needed to set that aside for myself and make sure that the focus was on her and her recovery. But what services are there available to the families of victims?
We offer a support group for friends and family members of those who have been assaulted. We also offer individual counseling, and our helpline is available 24/7 to anybody who's been impacted, survivors, friends, family.
And if a family can get involved, that may very well help the victim.
It does. It helps a lot, because if they feel, you know, we also are part of a campaign called Start By Believing. And when friends and family members start by believing, and if you're wondering about this, just Google Start By Believing and it's there.
It just means if
yes,
your family member says,
not
I've been assaulted,
questions.
That's right. We are getting help today.
Yeah. When a rape is reported, often the assailant is asked maybe 15, 20 questions. The survivor could be asked upwards of 500 questions.
I thank you for your time today. And obviously, there's a lot more to discuss, and we'll continue those conversations moving forward. That is Barbara Neese-May, the Executive Director of Safe House Center.
Thank you for having me today.
This is Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and it is Denim Day today. You can learn more at our website at WEMU.org. I'm David Fair, and you are listening to 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.